We are moving through our Lenten journey. And each week, the lectionary gives us much to consider. 2 weeks ago, the lectionary gave us the covenant that God made with Noah to reassure us. Last week, when Jesus was talking to his disciples and telling them, "Do not tell anyone who I am," we were still reassured and comforted by the presence of Jesus as God, by the proof that Jesus was God. And this morning we have this scripture from Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 31. My title of my sermon is the message of the cross foolishness or the power of God? Consider this, the foolishness of the cross moved us from the darkest of dark to eternal life and light and connection with God. Consider, the foolishness of the cross shows us that God's wisdom is wiser than human wisdom. Consider, the foolishness of the cross shows us that God's weakness is stronger than human strength. This foolishness about the cross is a roadblock for many people. The Jewish people do not see Jesus as divine because they could not conceive, cannot conceive of a divinity being allowing themselves to be killed on the cross. Jesus appears in Islam, but they cannot conceive of Jesus as divine because what divinity would allow himself to be insulted the way Jesus was? This foolishness of the cross is not foolishness to those of us who believe in Jesus. It makes sense to us who believe in Jesus. It is what we hold on to, we who worship Jesus. And so, Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, where do we, in the foolishness of the cross, find wisdom today? And where do we, in the foolishness of the cross, seek power today? And Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, what kind of wisdom in this foolishness of the cross do we cherish and nurture in our church today? Dear God, please come into my mind and heart this morning. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, make clear this most important scripture from Paul. Help me explain how the foolishness of the cross is really your grace, your power, your love, your strength, and your wisdom being poured onto us. And help me do this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the question is this foolishness or is this the power of God? There's a spiritual community in France called Taizé, and they offer a series of questions that can help us understand this scripture. Three questions. Question one, why does Paul speak so negatively about wisdom? Perhaps because it was in the name of human wisdom that Jesus was persecuted, was called a blasphemer, and was condemned to death by the wisdom of the Pharisees. And so question number two is, where can true wisdom be found? You know, this is confounding, because the message of the cross drove people crazy. The message of the cross was a contradiction that offended the Gentiles, the Greek Gentiles' minds who were looking for reason, and offended the Jewish religious minds who were stuck in 4,000 years of Jewish religious tradition. But it was the contradiction that Paul was exactly going for. Wisdom, God's wisdom, is found in the foolishness of the cross. And strength, God's strength, is found in the weakness of the cross. And the final question from Taizé is this: why is the cross an epic failure that Jesus did not try to escape? Why is this the language of God's wisdom and power? Well, the cross reveals the power of God's love for us. It shows how far Jesus' gift of his life goes. It shows the extremes to which God's love will take care of us. If we go to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, we know these words: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." But the message of the cross goes even further than John 3:16. You see, the message of the cross tells us the end of the story. God gave us his only begotten Son so that he could die on the cross, sacrifice his life as an act of love for us. Jesus' act of love turned an instrument of torture and death into a path for eternal life. Think about that. Jesus' love turned an instrument of torture and death, infamous in the ancient world, into the path of eternal life. And you remember last week when we were talking about the messianic secret phenomena in Mark? Well, I've got an update for you. Here's the update. When Jesus told his disciples, "Tell no one who I am," he knew that his complete identity could only be known after his death on the cross, after that foolishness on the cross, and his resurrection. And Jesus knew that his crucifixion was part of God's covenant with us, part of the covenant with Noah, covenant with Abraham, covenant with Moses. God's covenant covers everything because of that foolishness on the cross. And so, is this foolishness that we see on the cross, or is it truly the power of God? Have you ever noticed that we serve a mighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, foolish God? We serve a God who just is foolish over and over again by our standards. In last week's Old Testament lectionary reading, we saw God start a new nation with a 99-year-old Abraham and an 89-year-old Sarah, both of whom were childless to that point. Was there no one else that was younger and more fertile? God shows us his foolishness in this week's Old Testament lectionary reading, where God rescues his people with a reluctant and imperfect Moses. And when Israel was threatened, when its very existence as a country was threatened, God shows us his foolishness by choosing a shepherd boy who was so small, so thin, that when King Saul put his armor on David, David could not walk. And yet this small, scrawny shepherd boy slew a 9-foot giant and became Israel's greatest king. God showed us his foolishness and a sense of humor when he chose a cranky, stubborn, and deceitful prophet named Jonah. God's sense of humor came when Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days. But this stubborn, cranky person was chosen to save the 120,000 people of the city of Nineveh, and he did. God shows us his foolishness when he chose a probably 13-year-old girl named Mary to be the mother of his son Jesus and then give birth in a stable. And Jesus showed us his foolishness when he needed to identify disciples to follow him instead of going to the rabbis, students. He found fishermen, tax collectors, farmers, merchants. And those 12 disciples never really figured out his true identity. Jesus showed us his foolishness when he told us that the meek will inherit the earth. Yeah. And the kingdom of heaven will belong to the poor in spirit. We worship a foolish God by our human standards. But why go on and on embarrassing God by his foolishness? So is the cross foolishness or the power of God? Paul really had a handle on this, not only in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, but in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. He goes back to this. He quotes the prophet Job in chapter 5, verse 13. It is written that he catches the wise in their craftiness. And Paul again quotes Psalm 94, verse 11. The Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. And Paul goes on in chapter 3, do not deceive yourselves if any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age. You should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. And so right now, as we are in the middle of our Lenten journey, we need to consider the foolishness of the cross. We need to consider Christ crucified, the obstacle that many people get stuck on, except for those of us who believe. Now, I've considered God's foolishness by looking at questions from the religious community of Taizai. I've considered God's foolishness by going through examples in Scripture. But perhaps we need to consider God's foolishness in a completely different way. Perhaps we need a new way of seeing God's foolishness. Perhaps we need to make a radical shift in our seeing and look to the world of optical illusions. Because an optical illusion causes us to think and then think again. Many people look at this and they see the profiles of two faces. But if we look and look again, if we think and think again, can you see the chalice? Sometimes we need to make a radical shift in our seeing and thinking to truly understand the foolishness of God is really the wisdom and the power of God. And you see, once we make that shift, once we see the chalice, it's hard to go back to seeing just the two faces. But this is not the only example. I want to go back 130 years to the country of Germany and look at this optical illusion. Once you see the rabbit, can you still go back and see the duck? You see, once we can shift our vision, our thinking about the foolishness of God, we understand that the foolishness of God, the sacrifice of the cross, was central to God and central to his relationship with us. And as we journey through Lent, let us take opportunities and let us take time to pray so we can see the wisdom and the power of God in the message of the cross. This is not an optical illusion, but this is the message of Lent. We preach Christ crucified. Christ crucified is what gives us forgiveness, salvation, eternal life. This embodies the foolishness of God. And yet, it also embodies God's power, God's wisdom. And so, is the message of the cross the foolishness of God or the power of God? Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, how will we this year turn aside worldly wisdom and live into the foolishness of Jesus? And Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, how will we show by our actions, by our words, that we are not saved by power, but we are saved by the weakness of Jesus, who let himself be crucified. And Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, how will we this year live so well that we can live into the total gift of ourselves and our lives to others? That is the gift of the foolishness of Jesus on the cross. The author, Paul Bellen Boyer, has a very concise way of saying this. His words: the message of the cross is simple. God's love for the world will never be extinguished, not even by the failings of God's ragtag people. And so, beloved worshiping community, we give thanks and praise for the foolishness of the power of the cross. which, especially as we journey through Lent, shows us God's unshakable, unending, and never failing covenant of love for us. We give thanks and praise for this foolish power. We pray that we can understand and live into this foolish power. We ask that we can be fools for Jesus, fools for the love of God in this world. And we give thanks for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.